The dark match comes back to the Houston Wrestling Radio Network.
Ooh, yeah. Like,
but wait.
What?
This isn't WWE. What? This isn't Ring of Honor. What? This isn't TNA. What? This isn't New Japan. What the fuck are we going to talk about tonight? All of it. What? That's some kind of fictional animal you're getting all that meat from.
No, well.
So just spit it out. What are we talking about tonight?
Wrestle Circus.
Holy shit, balls, Wrestle Circus. Yeah! I still have a voice. I was quiet all day today to make sure I had a voice for this.
Do you want
to
fill in the audience of what we did?
So, if you were stumbling around Facebook yesterday, Scott, I think I threw one too many in there.
And he's just
brought back the dirty heels once again. We invaded Austin. We went firsthand to check out Wrestle Circus. Scott was telling us he went to the last month's show. And he's like, bruh, you gotta go. And guess what?
Just like that too.
Even he went. He barely leaves his house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had to get a job that's a mile away from his house because he thought the old one was too far. And he went to fucking Austin to watch this show.
You're welcome.
All right, man. We had to celebrate. We actually made him drink.
Well, there's no proof of that.
Oh, there is proof of that. But we'll just keep it between us girls.
Yeah.
Wrestle Circus. We've been talking about this the last couple of episodes that we were going.
The last two.
Abel's like, ooh, Wrestle Circus, can I come? Nah. But we've been hyping this up. If you cannot make it to California for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, this is what you do. You get in the car. First you take a shower. And then you get in the car. You drive to Austin. Boom, Wrestle Circus. We had guys from New Japan. We had a couple of guys from TNA. We had a couple of guys from Ring of Honor. We had some homegrown talent that's in the Austin area that's in charge that has had some light to shine on Wrestle Circus. Lucha Underground was in full force. Good fuck. Where do you want to begin?
Man, let's start about something real quick. The promotion, Wrestle Circus. It sounds corny when you first like Wrestle Circus. What the fuck? Like, we all know that wrestling is, you know, historically it's part of the sideshow of, you know, everything. So it's just weird, you know, to have that as a marketing. It felt like a gimmick. Like, the whole thing felt like a comedy.
I was expecting a carousel and a midget with a beard and like the three boob lady.
I felt like a comedy. The presentation. It feels like it's not like a serious wrestling promotion. But then you see these cards that they like. The last card that popped out. It was good, but this one, you're gonna get all blurs and shit in there. Yeah. But this card, dude, from top to bottom, I mean, there was somebody from somewhere you've seen before, show up on this card. And I've always said this before in the past, it kind of sucks that as big as Texas is, there's not a big like wrestling hotbed for like talent, like indie darling talent to show up to. It's always
in Ring of Honor in the Northeast. That's where all that stuff happens.
PWG's
in California. Lucha Libre for the most parts in Mexico. There isn't a lot of high profile. There's not a lot of high profile lucha wrestling. Here it's just, for lack of a better term, students that are getting their feet wet.
You'll get like the main event of a card, like some well known internet wrestling star like show up. But that's it. You know, it's not like a supercar, like a super show for this. That's for all intents and purposes it was. And I said this a few years ago on our show. I was like, you know, it sucks that Texas like that. But, man, if they had something like that, I got to go to that. And
the proof was in the pudding because he was there.
Dude, it's like this car that they brought out, like – you can't not, if you're a wrestling fan, if you know who these people are, like, you can't pass
$25 is worth half of this card. I would say $25 is worth maybe four matches of this card, and there were 11. If you don't count the dark match, which was basically a couple of students that are graduating from the wrestling school there,
like
in Austin.
AAPW or something?
Yeah, and there's graduates of the school, and they had their moment in the sun. And then we get right into it, and I'm like, fuck, DJ Z in this triple threat match.
Unadvertised. It was an. It was
it's
an
not on this poster. I had no idea it was.
It was an
either.
Unadvertised triple threat. Basically a cruiserweight match, pretty much, for all intents and purposes. But DJZ was the first one to come out. We all was like, oh, kind of popped for him. It's like, oh, shit, okay, DJZ. But who else? I couldn't.
Jervis Cottonbelly and Jonathan Cruz. I have no idea who A and B were, but man, did they put on a fucking clinic.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Dude, okay, Jervis, you've seen, if you saw a picture of him, you know who he is because
looks like a character straight out of Doomsday Wrestling.
Yeah.
For anybody here in the Houston area that likes that loves the comedy show Doomsday, which we're fans of.
It's basically a dude in a gold lucha mask, but he's got like he's got like a goatee like marked on it. He's got a sad like eyebrow. The monocle on one and a sad eyebrow on one. And it works perfectly.
He came out handing flowers like roses to the crowd and
Well, they had some kind of moniker for him, like he's the most gentlese, whatever. I don't know, but he was over with the crowd because I think he's
local town.
Yeah. So
I had a fan in front of me goes, "Hey man, you don't know who Jervin is?" I was like, "Nah, man, I'm not from here." So really, y'all don't know who he is? Like, we're not from here. The rules do not apply to us. We're learning.
The other guy, I didn't know who he was either.
No.
I thought maybe because they kept chanting Lucha for him, so I didn't know if he was someone that we were supposed to know or something. I knew he was. But all three of those guys, like you said, they put on a clinic because it was a very good opening match for their iPay-per-view. And I got to say, dude, this was like, what, their second or third show?
I want to say this might be their sixth show. I have this list through a cage match. Their first show was the opening act, and that was October 16th of last year.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is their sixth show.
But they were smaller at first because I remember first hearing about this. I don't think it was it last month's show is when we first heard about it from Scott, right?
Yeah, he saw Pentagon Junior wrestle somebody.
Yeah.
But
and he was all over that. He said we got to check this out. So.
Well, fast forward a couple of matches to my. Oh, we need to bring this up. You click on the title for this episode and you notice there's something at the very end. It's called iPay-per-view.
Yeah.
It was $10 for the first 24 hours.
Right.
This was technically available for everyone to see.
All over the world.
Therefore, as of now, my match of the week pick is this triple threat match.
We're going to open it up with it.
Between Desmond Xavier, Phoenix, and Shane Strickland.
Who?
Well, let me help you out. Killshot. Killshot and Phoenix from Lucha Underground against local talent from here and from
no, he's not. I asked him. He's not. Talked to him.
Clear it up.
I talked to him because I said, "Dude, that was an awesome match. Where are you from here? Or do you wrestle here?" He's like, "No, I'm not from here. I'm not from the state." He says, "I'm from Ohio. I wrestle in Ohio, Michigan." He says he goes to California. He's all over the fucking. He's just an indie star. I mean, indie wrestler.
Nice.
And. Yeah, very nice, humble guy. We talked to Killshot for a little bit too after the match, and he sounded surprised at how good that match came out. but I'm there with you. I think the whole audience in attendance would agree that was match of the night. I'm going to say this for so far. If we're going off criteria that we normally set, it's iPay per view. It's my match of the week. But let's go into why was it the match of the week. Go into some details here.
There's a lot of spots when there's a one-on-one match where, like, the one-upsmanship when you're trying to top the other and they both come up as a draw.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that when there's three guys. There was instant chemistry when you're looking at this match between these three guys. And they made everything work. Rumor has it the night before in PWG, Phoenix hurt his hand, and that's why he was icing his hand before and after the show. You could not tell because even Phoenix was like spot on. Everything was fluid. I couldn't tell any errors from where we were sitting.
I think there was towards the very end. I think there was a little botch towards the end, but even then, fuck. The whole match.
If we had a drinking game for every time a super kick was thrown, everyone would be dead.
Oh, you like super kick parties? We got super kick parties.
Oh, yeah. For days. It was fun as shit. They were flying around everywhere. People in the first four rows, you got a souvenir, a bump, a bruise, or something because they were everywhere.
Yeah. Instant spit.
Yeah.
It was a slobber knocker, that's for sure. But there was, of course, you need to talk to matches. You get kind of crazy. They do get a little flippy dippy, but to my, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be as far as the flippy dippies and stuff. Yeah, there was, but there's also some hard hitting stuff too. There was the mushroom stomp, a couple of them. Yeah. There was one
On the apron, right?
Yeah. Oh. Who actually did that stomp on the
apron? I want to say it was Killshot Strickland.
Yeah,
he did one
on the apron. His opponent was on the apron, like he was standing up.
And the opponent was like bent down, yeah. And he
So basically, when he did the double stomp on his back, he went face first in the apron. And then towards the end, I think Scott got a video, and we posted that. I think we shared it on our Facebook page of the double stomp onto the mat. And I'm kind of a mark for that. Just that double stomp when they're already on the ground and when they land on him and they kind of crumple when they hit him, it just feels like it was just your chest caves in, you know. But there were so many good like hard hitting moments like that. But there's also some, you know, it is what it is. Like some synchronized, you know, going back and forth.
Typical Lucha stuff.
Yeah.
But it was the presentation was awesome. The crowd was into it, and there was no fucking let up.
No.
And it was, Is I would hesitate to say at $9.95, that's worth the price of admission right there.
It's a damn good match.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
I have to find a way to buy this so that we can rewatch this because we might need to have Abel see this. There's a couple of matches we might need to have Abel see this.
Yeah. Now the $9.99 or $10 or whatever it was to purchase it, match wise, top to bottom, it's worth the $10. However, my only reserve is I don't know what the quality of the video itself is.
Yeah.
And that's not off on them, but
first pay-per-view ever. Yeah. They're editing what they were using.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't expect perfection on the first try because that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Again, it's all about quality.
Yeah, it's an indie show.
In the ring is what you're looking for.
Oh man.
If you're looking for pyrotechnics, go somewhere else. If you're looking for good commentary, I don't know who the fuck they were talking
about. Pyrotechnics when the title changes.
Oh.
we'll get to
No, we're getting right into it because we had a title match. Oh, before we get to the title match, before we get to one of the title matches, we talked earlier about how the theme of Wrestle Circus sounds kind of corny, but man, do they make this work?
They do.
So their mid-card title is called the Sideshow title. Their tag titles are called the Big Top Tag titles. And then they have the Lady of the Ring for their women's champion. And then for their main event dudes, they have the Ringmaster heavyweight title, which basically, just like in a circus, those are the tiers in a circus. And
it works.
It fucking works, dude. Like, I was surprised how it just – it fit. Like, now I'm expecting a carousel or some fucking, like, just to add more ambiance to it, you know? Like a juggler or something.
It's funny, like – when I was seeing the event from last month when EC3 was there, or whoever was the champion at the time, and they said the Ringmaster champion, I kind of giggled a little bit. That's funny. It's Wrestle Circus and the champion's the Ringmaster champion. I dig it. Like, I don't know. It's something it clicks. Like, everything, whoever designed this, it works. It's so funny because let's talk a little bit. We're going to veer off. I apologize. We're going all over the place. But, like, the venue that it's in, very unique venue. It's not a wrestling. It's a building. It's, if you're familiar with Austin, downtown Austin, Sixth Street, all this, you know, the buildings are, you know, what it is. It's like old downtown, you know. But this building that they're in, it's just a two-story building, pretty much. No, it's I don't know how big it is. It's not that big at all.
647 people were in there.
You can get the ring in there with about five rows out of people, and then maybe like 10 rows out.
Like maybe four or five rows on three sides, and then the side that we were on, there was like 11 or 12 rows.
Oh,
and there were like two rows too many because like the front rows scoot back, and then everybody else started scooting back, and then like the chairs are like hitting each other, and you couldn't sit there.
That was my one thing that was the
people were still standing up anyway, and there were empty chairs because there's no leg room.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought that part added to it, that there's actually people standing. And then, like, the street kind of inclined. Mm-hmm. So there's people, like, on the outside that didn't pay, and they're, like, through the window peeping through, like, oh, my God. To the point where I was going to transition to, one of the titles, one of the guys, the Sideshow champion, he won by chicanery. So they wound up going over the earpiece and say, hey, look, management just said that this belt is on, is now being defended 24/7 until South by Southwest. And the comedy guy, Jervis, he was outside. And then when he heard it, he was like peeping out. And then when he heard it, he like just went, ah, and he ran around the building to get back inside. I was like, oh, okay. So I guess that's the next match. Basically, the next person that came out was Leva Bates. Some of y'all know her as Blue Pants. She has a gimmick where she comes dressed up as other people. Apparently, she came dressed up as Nakamura at one event.
Yeah, last month it was Nakamura.
Yeah, well, this month, she was Joey Ryan, lollipop and oil and everything. And she pins him. She becomes the new champion.
Wait a minute. Hold on. If you've seen the gimmick of Joey Ryan, and you think to yourself, man, that'd be hot if that was a chick. You're right. It is hot if it's a chick. Because that, yeah. Lollipops, baby oil, everything. And yeah.
That was my Big E impression right there, basically.
Yeah. So, she won.
She won. Oh, man. Everybody.
What did you say? I was
like, oh, fuck. Dude, Joey Ryan has to come out and take this shit.
Guess what happened after that?
Joey Ryan came out and rolled her up and beat her. He is the new sideshow champion.
And what did he do after that?
He ran like a motherfucker out to the back.
Which turned around, he's across the street.
And then, by the way, hey, intermission. That's how we start intermission, with Joey Ryan out in the street making sure ain't nobody going to kick his ass for this title. He just won.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
That was double duty for Joey Ryan, because before that, he fought Scott Norton.
Oh, my God. The dynamic in that match. Scott Norton, straight up macho-ness. Like, he's not going to tolerate any kind of gay bullshit.
But the funny thing, he worked with it.
It worked. Oh, my God.
Because he sold it. Like, Scott Norton sold it, you know?
And, of course, Joey Ryan got killed.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Yeah. And so for him to end the night with the title, that's damn near fitting.
Whenever like Scott Norton was selling a hurt leg after he did atomic drop on Joey Ryan.
Oh, dude, and Scorpio actually sold the atomic drop to Leva.
Yes,
he did an atomic drop to Leva, and he sold it that his knee was hurting because she had super.
And then she did,
and she even taunted him. She's like, "Touch my dick," and then all the crowd like, "Ugh."
But then she
made him grab it, and she did the same moves Joey does, where he's like, and she's like, you know, and then he like tosses him up. Oh, fucking A, dude. I love Blue Pants. God damn. That was fun, dude. Oh, yeah. Then we move on to what might have been the most entertaining for me. This was a new concept that I think TNA is trying to do something like this. But they had a battle royal for the tag championships. So here's how it worked. There were six teams, 12 humans total. Well, 15 if you count Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. But basically, we start with two guys. Every other minute, another person comes in.
Another tag team partner.
Another tag team. Yeah. Even if one half of your team gets eliminated.
You still got a shot.
The last two people that are in the ring, their teammates come out, and it becomes a one-on-one tag team match to a one-fall finish.
Right.
One-fall finish. Yeah. And – dude, it was fucking fun.
It was. Yeah, it worked. I got a kick out of it. I don't know if that was the general perception or whatever, but I had that history of the boys and Pretty Boy Killers in ROH, and that just kind of continued a little bit more on this one. But, dude, this match, these teams, dude, I was excited for this match, not only for Pretty Boy Killers. We're big fans of Heath Lee and Shane Taylor. You know, we like the boys, you know, fan up, all that stuff. But we also had Gorillas of Destiny from New Japan.
Tama Tonga and Tama Lao.
Yeah. I never seen them live, you know. So that was kind of cool. I'm sorry, I'm bad with their names, but the one with the face paint.
Tama Tonga.
That's a fucking beast, dude. He was tearing it up in that ring. The other guy, I could tell he might be more technical sound, but that other dude was like ripping through everybody in that match, dude. The speed he had going to the beating people in the turnbuckles, we were supposed to have a Killer Elite Squad,
mm-hmm.
But I found out ahead of time that Lance Hoyt
overdosed on Whataburgers. So basically, homegrown Texas talent. Houston Carson. We've seen him around in Lone Star and a couple of other. He had a tryout.
The Texas line. Honor.
Yeah. Texas line. He teamed up with Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah.
And their chemistry actually worked. I liked the dynamic that they were going with. They were each trying to eliminate one of the pretty boy killers, and they were calling each other. I was like, yeah. Bro, help me. He's like, no, you come help me. No, you come help me. And that descent got both of them eliminated to the point where they just started going at it on each other, which is a pretty good way to build up a match for next month's event. And I thought that was fucking solid.
And I don't know if that was the first time they've tagged together, like it was a last minute thing. Kayfabe wise, like if they've ever tagged before, yeah. Or if this is the first time they've met or whatever the case would be. But yeah, I think it worked and it made sense. Like I saw them fighting on the outside after that. I was like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. Was there another team in there?
There's six teams.
Oh, there's Ricky Starks and his partner. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. Yeah,
Ricky Salas.
Salas, yeah.
Salas.
I'm not familiar with Salas, but Ricky Starks, you know, if you've been in Texas, yeah. Wrestling indie shows, you know who he is.
Speaking of Texas, local boy, another local talent, Andy Dalton and his partner, they were in this team too.
Yeah, so but he was like, they were like kind of tossed out pretty yeah. quickly. And we're yeah. not a big fan. Honestly, I'll be up. But it came down. Well, we thought it was down to the boys and Pretty Boy Killers. But
dude, that elimination was fun too. Like, yeah. Like Keith Lee, Shane Taylor. No, Keith Lee had one of the boys. Shane Taylor was about to knock him out, a dead one. The boy ducks and he eliminates Keith Lee by accident.
Yeah.
And then both the boys come from behind and eliminate Shane. I was like, wow, that was believable.
Yeah.
That's how they got eliminated. Cause you see Shane Taylor, he's about to get eliminated by two or three guys. And then here comes Keith Lee and he's not running. He's running.
Yeah.
He's taking his time. He
dude
takes off the hood.
Dude, really,
and
dude.
Then
real quick,
he beats the fuck out of everybody.
Whenever Keith Lee makes an entrance, he looks like a beast.
He's got presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we've met them behind the scenes. We've talked to them a few times. We've seen them wrestle several times, especially here at home. Dude, both of them, the things that Shane Taylor can do,
yeah,
man. And Keith Lee, just those two guys you don't want to fuck with.
Dude, Keith Lee just signing with the Evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's moving up, man.
His debut is against Brian Cage at the next Evolve show.
Oh, well, Brian Cage. You want to get that later?
Fuck it, let's get to it now. Brian Cage against Zack Sabre Jr.
Another first for us
yeah.
to see Zack Sabre Jr. We saw Brian Cage at the South by Southwest show last year
mm-hmm.
For Lucha Underground, but he's the current champion right now,
mm-hmm.
and he fought Zack Sabre Jr. And if you've seen Zack Sabre Jr. fight, you're kind of used to his style. You probably know what kind of match you're getting with that. But it was your strength versus smarts, you know, brain versus brawn type mm-hmm. storytelling in the match. But yeah, it was pretty much Cage going in for the kill for a move. And then Zack Sabre wraps his linky body around him and then Cage's power bombs him out. Yeah. It was a fun match. But that ending to that power bomb, the sit down power bomb, oh, that looks sick. Yeah,
for Cage. All of the talent that Zack Sabre had, I knew from the second he walked into that ring, you're going to die. It was a wonderful death. But, dude, the kind of year Zack Sabre's having, dude, in the last 12 months,
yeah.
He's wrestled Kurt Angle. He's wrestled Keith Lee. He's wrestled Cage. He's got highlighted in Cruiserweight Tournament in WWE. Dude, this next generation of guys, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And it was just – good to say, yeah, I've seen these people wrestle now in this car.
Yeah.
But that was one of the highlighted matches on there. But what was we kind of talked about the tag team. What about the women, the lady, the roommate?
If there is one disappointment, it's this women's match. And it's not because of the talent.
No.
Number one, Rachel E. ain't nothing to fuck with. I had no idea she was that over in Austin.
If you told me how over Rachel Ellering was in Austin in this show, you're crazy. None. You're crazy. She was probably the most over person in that card.
Yeah.
And look at these people that are on this card.
Yeah.
Like, that blew my mind. Like, I don't know. Like, her history in Austin. If our listeners can tell us, I'll be glad to hear it. But
Chelsea Green is fucking delicious.
She's come out wearing a Harley Quinn outfit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about.
But yeah, these guys were telling me before the show, I was like, dude, there's already pictures floating around of Sexy Star without her mask. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I want to keep the kayfabe.
That's so funny we had that conversation.
I don't want to know what she looks like. I already appreciate her the way she is now.
Well, guess
the
what?
The way I see her on Lucha. Well, not anymore because Sexy Dulce does not wear a mask. My God.
Yeah.
She is beautiful.
She's hiding that. I don't know why they're covering that up on television, on Lucha Underground.
And to top it all off, to watch her do the grind that the Bellas do. Oh, you could hear a collective orgasm from all the guys when she did that in the ring. I was like, man, match of the year. The bell hasn't even rung. Not all the participants in the ring.
This is awesome.
I'm like,
It was actually supposed to be a four-way. Tessa Blanchard was supposed to be
sick. Tessa was sick, so she couldn't make it.
Which is a shame, because I like her more than I like Rachel Ellering. But.
So this was announced as a triple threat match to one fall.
Mm-hmm.
One fall. The match is going on good. Awesome, awesome work by all the three ladies. Sexy Dulce pinned Chelsea Green.
Right.
It's like, yeah, Sexy Star is the winner. Hold on a minute.
Chelsea Green has been eliminated.
What?
But you just said it was for 1-12. Like,
yeah, so it turned out to be an elimination match.
That was surprising. We'll get to the second surprise in a minute. But but then after that, like, the match just kind of fell apart, man.
I don't know if the match fell apart, but for me, my interest started to wane because the match was about maybe 13 minutes. I was like, that was a good way for the match to end.
Yeah.
Stop it. They did good. Sexy won. This is a 4.5-hour event.
Yeah.
And there's still about 2 or 3 more matches after this one. It's like, all right. Awesome. The women did a good job. Let's keep going. And it didn't. Like, the match kept going between
that was another, like, Rachel 5 or 6 minutes,
and
I would think.
And Sexy,
that match.
And Rachel winds up getting the win. Good for her. Oh, by the way, she's the new lady of the ring, champion. I was like,
Adi. What?
This was not announced on Twitter. This was not announced
was
on the poster.
Match?
They might have had a blurb or two last show, but people that are walking in that are buying tickets that are new to this, we have no idea what's going on. Just like the interference in the Scorpio Sky match for the Slideshow title.
Right.
We have no idea what the fuck's going on. So at least in the women's match, they themselves could have made it clear. Hey, triple threat match. Elimination. This is for the belt. Holy shit! I would have like, if my anticipation level wasn't already at 10, it would have probably been at 11 going into it.
Right.
But then once we got there and it happened the way it happened, it just felt a little conjoined to me.
Yeah, it did. No, I agree. As far as everything else on that card, I think that is kind of like the.
And it's and again, it's
something,
not
it's something not right about it.
It's not know. Much as it's not as much as the talent in the ring, as much as what it was presented. And that just goes back to, if they would have told us from the beginning.
It wasn't booked, right?
Yeah.
I think the booking, the match, and everything all together, I think it just kind of – something wasn't right on that. But that's hardly
– the lady's fault.
Yeah, and that's hardly something to complain about on the show that's like this, because there's so many good matches on this.
That's like the mole on Cindy Crawford. You still like Cindy Crawford regardless.
What about ACH and Jeff Cobb?
This is how I was when the match happened, because there's this match and then there's probably 2 more matches left and we've already been there for 3.5 hours and the competition still come in. You had ACH versus Jeff Cobb, first time ever. Jeff Cobb, if you don't know who Jeff Cobb is, he is Matanza Cueto from Lucha Underground, the guy that's shorter than Travis.
You're still in my thunder, fucker.
Go ahead.
No, shorter than me.
What did you think of the match?
Sorry. Dick. Got anything else you want to say that I was going to say? Yeah, that's all right. It was a good match, though. It was fun. You know what? I got this vibe from Jeff Cobb during the match, other than the fact that he's shorter than me. He's got like a Taz I got. I was getting like a Taz vibe from
Suplex
him.
Suplex machine.
Yeah, like the way he was his style and everything. You don't see that on Lucha because he's wearing the big jumpsuit, the mask, and everything. But take that away, and you got like a singlet wrestling attire and a name. yeah, it's like he's. Yeah, I got like he could be like the next Taz type thing. But him going up against ACH, we all knew who ACH is, friend of the show. I went up to ACH afterwards.
He remembered us.
Yeah. So that was fun. It was just a fun match. I know lately ACH has been kind of doing like a tweener heelish turn in his character, and it kind of was, but it wasn't overt or anything. It was just kind of more cocky.
I was not expecting Jeff Cobb to win this though. For as over as ACH is, I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. But
in Texas?
Yeah. So how's ACH going to win this? Oh, no, he didn't.
Jeff Cobb killed
him. Good surprise. Yeah, I liked it. Dude, and you said it. I mentioned this earlier when we were out there. Did the fact that you meeting Jeff Cobb kill the Matanza Zaquato character for you on Lucha?
Yes and no. Like, I'm standing right next to him. I don't even know it was him. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And you're like, dude, look at the shirts behind you. I was like, I turned around. Oh, it's Matanza's shirt. Oh, what the fuck? And I was like,
man, then he looked down at him like,
bitch. No. And then I was like, what the fuck?
He's a cool guy though, man.
He's cool. Yeah, he's a nice awesome guy. But you know, and we're after the show, we're walking home, and you're like, did that just ruin Lucha? Did you just ruin Lucha Underground for yourself? And it took me a second to figure it out. I was like, you know what? No. It didn't.
Defend yourself.
It actually made me appreciate Lucha Underground even more. The fact that they can take this 5-foot midget to make him look like a 7-foot killing machine slasher monster dude and make him believable as a killer. And they did that.
He eats people.
He's the bull. He's the beast. Whatever. You know what you're going to do. But, yeah, like, take this small little dude and make him bigger than life.
Dude, and some of those gut-wrench suplexes. Oh, dude, he did a suplex on ACH that folded him up like a goddamn accordion. Yeah. Oh, you can hear a collective, oh. Like,
loves you from you, me and Scott.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Dude, but watching him do the Fall of Man, or whatever he calls it, his finisher, mm-hmm. that reverse
little,
power slam.
Little, yeah, where he takes the momentum and he's slams him down in a power slam. Yeah.
Man, it looks sick. Yeah, I have a fonder appreciation for the character Matanza Zaquato now.
Yeah,
watching the moves that he does done in person like that, oh shit, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, we had an open challenge. Jack Stane came out. Godzilla Jack Stane came out. I like Jack Stane. I liked him when him and Ray Rowe were in Lone Star and NWA and all that stuff. So you know, you say Jack Stane's on the show. I know this dude's a beast. You know, and he just looks intimidating.
He killed a couple of jobbers and won a real competition, and then he got it. Trevor Lee.
Yeah, another TNA guy.
Star. but we're not making fun of Trevor Lee. We're making fun of TNA. Yeah. Trevor Lee is over as fucking Austin. And, man.
I think honestly, I think he's just an internet darling. And we just kind of missed that boat. I think so.
Well, we swam to it because we were there, and man, he's good. He's got some intensity. I don't know what it. I've seen some of him on TNA, and it feels like what we saw there in Austin is not what we get at TNA. Like there's something missing that they don't let him do.
I can't see them.
He looked like he can go, especially with Jax. Jax got a good way of between Jax, Keith Lee, and Brian Cage and Shane Taylor. They do a good job of putting over people that are smaller than them, but making them believe that it's actually happening.
Right.
And Trevor Lee's a cool pinball to go off of freaking Jack Stane. And that was a fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, Jack Stane killed him.
Yeah. Rightfully so. But speaking of, I just mentioned him, Ray Rowe. He was there. He fought
Donovan Dijak.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of people like Dijak. Me, I'm kind of like neutral on him because I know him from ROH. I've seen him when he was coming up in ROH. But I was never like high on the guy, mm-hmm. And I know he's gone on to do. He's not in ROH anymore. He's kind of gone on to do other things right now. I just kind of missed that boat on him as well too. But I know, I know who he is. You say Dijak. I was like, okay, yeah. But that was okay match. Here's the problem was with the company's matches, this one being one of them, this match, Dijak versus Rowe, came off right after that triple threat match. And I was
that's a tough act to follow.
Dude, that during the match, I was like, I was telling you, I was like, I hate to be whoever has to follow that fucking match.
Yeah.
Because that was that killed that drained everybody on that match. Woo. But that leaves us all to the closeout of the show. We got King Ricochet versus Sammy Guevara.
Sammy Guevara.
Have you seen him wrestle before?
Never.
Never. Yeah. A lot of people that we talked to haven't seen him until they came to Wrestle Circus. You bumped into an old friend who didn't know about him until the last show.
Oh, Terry Thomas. Yeah, he's a newfound fan of Terry's of Sammy. Apparently, Sammy's a heel in that promotion, but you can't help but like the guy. And I couldn't tell the difference because he's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
he is damn near like the next layer of Ricochet.
You know what I like about him? Like, I know he's supposed to be a heel and all that, but it's some things you can get over just by the subtle things. One of them is just the way you present yourself. Like I mentioned earlier, Keith Lee, he has that presence of when he walks out. I noticed the same thing with Sammy. But when that match started, it was the main event. The ring announcer, he got everybody in around the ring. So everybody was standing. We could not see shit. But when he called out Guevara to come out, when he came out to his music and everything, he was like doing this, like the fist raised in the air, like all the way around the ring. That's kind of like I hate to say old school. Like to me, it feels like an old school way of. You know, you're promoting yourself pretty much. Mm-hmm. You're evoking that confidence, and this is me. Look at me. Pay attention to me as he's walking around. You know, and through the crowd of people that I couldn't see, I could see where he was because I could see
his arm.
Yeah, and that just evokes that. Look at this guy. You know, and then of course, to counter that, Ricochet comes out with a fucking cloak and a fucking crown and shit. You know,
King Starscream over here.
Yeah, and. You know what? Here's the thing about this match. That was I agree with them putting that match on last, even though it wasn't a title match. Because sometimes, even in WWE, you put the spotlight match last to send the crowd home happy, you know. Even before the match started, we're waiting in line. I saw as many shirts as I saw. I saw more people wearing the same Guevara shirts more than anybody.
Say, I don't get the panda thing, but
I don't either. But whatever. That's another topic for another story, I guess. Another day. But so they had their match. Here's the thing, though. For me, and this is not a knock on them, I think I've talked about this in the shows, you're either a fan of the way Ricochet wrestles and whoever, you know, you got the Will Ospreys, and I'll even throw Sammy Guevara in that category now, really,
mm-hmm.
And, of course, Ricochet himself. But the whole acrobatic I think at one point I said it the
Cirque du Soleil,
yeah, of a style of wrestling where it's more of just a performance art piece than a wrestling match, you know, a fight, you know, and some people like it, some people don't like it, but for me, I already knew what I was getting myself into with this match, so I wasn't like, ooh, what's gonna happen, you know, Were you the same way?
I mean, you were sitting next to me. I could tell that you weren't as like enthralled or like captivated by everything.
Been 4.5 hours. I've already seen a badass fucking card. 4 hours,
yeah.
I've already seen that fucking triple threat match. Like, I dare you to top that shit.
That might have been the other flaw, and I don't know if it's just old man Chris here, but dude, after 4 hours being in that sweat box,
oh god damn, dude,
you get drained. And again, two and a half hour drive from Austin. We were walking around a lot that day. We waited in line for an hour and a half. 4 hours of screaming and jumping and yelling and high fiving and like jumping
standing
around.
Standing up, sitting down, chanting this, yelling this. Yeah.
To end it like that, man, I like you even told me, hey, are you gonna like record any of this or Facebook Live any of this? I was like, dude, I'm gonna just sit back and enjoy it because I was fucking exhausted. Not in a bad way, but fuck. Like, I didn't have enough energy left to give. So as soon as the match started and they're already, like, in the crowd, I was like, I'm going to wait till they either come to me or they get in the ring. Until Sammy Guevara climbs up the fucking monkey bars and winds up doing a moonsault like 15 feet off the ground, and everybody started losing their shit.
We already shared it because I think he shared it on his Facebook.
Yeah, and we shared that. Yeah. So that's when I was like, okay, I guess I need to get up for this.
Yeah. It was a fun match, though. Yeah. Like, I can't complain about it. I can't say anything bad about it because for all intents and purposes, if you want to take that aspect of what I was saying about what they're doing, they did a damn good job on their what they do in that match.
Yeah.
Ricochet is probably the best at that style of wrestling, for better or worse. If you're a proponent of that, or if you don't like it, it's all subjective. I'm the same way. You know, I might not like as much as you like it, or whatever the case would be. But that's beside the point. The point is, it was entertaining.
Oh hell yeah! If you're looking for a match to send the crowd on happy, that was it.
Yeah. And then he got on the stick after that, and he just kind of send the crowd
put everybody over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it, though, man. Whew.
4.5 hours. But it was good 4.5 hours. This wasn't no fucking WrestleMania 32.
It didn't drag. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know? The intermission helped. Yeah.
That was another thing about the intermission. It was just like, they said like 10 or 15 minutes, but you had time to – it was funny because it's like, intermission's good. Good. I'm going to go outside and chill out. No, it's hotter outside. Because it's January, it's February. Because it's in Texas in February, and it's hotter outside than it is inside.
And it's crowded.
Yeah.
And the beer's already starting to get a little warm. And people are sneaking in food from 7-Eleven. Had I fucking known this, I would have brought food.
Yeah, people would be honest, we're eating a damn pizza from 7-Eleven. I don't know if it was good or not, but it smelled good. That's for sure. it was a good show. It was fun. I had a good time. I'm glad I went. Like I said, some of the wrestling stars on here from the indie scene, I either wanted to see them for a long time, or I've already seen them and enjoyed them. Like I said, I'm fans of Keith Lee, Shane Taylor, Jack Stane, Raymond Rowe, ACH. I got to see people I never saw before: Zack Sabre Jr. I know who Sammy Guevara is now.
Yeah.
Gorillas of Destiny from Bullet Club.
It's biggest detriment, calling myself out here at least. If I can't get off of my lazy ass to go to a wrestling promotion 45 minutes from here, there is no fucking chance in hell that I'm going to go 3 hours every month.
Oh, yeah, no.
Especially on 3 hours of sleep to go to work the next day.
No.
However, there is a strong argument to make that if it's that consistent and we get enough people to rotate cars, or we can find a way to make it work, for this, I will most definitely find a way to make it work. Not so much next show, because the next show is on a Friday night at 9 p.m. Oof. At South by Southwest.
Crowds, it's going
to
be.
If you've ever been to a South by Southwest, hell, if you were fortunate enough to go see Lucha Underground a couple years ago at their South by Southwest debut, you're waiting in lines, you're waiting in heat, you're waiting in the stench of other people, and it's a late night, and man. It's not your typical schedule for your monthly wrestling show, unless they're going to do it on iPay-per-view. And even if they do,
I'm telling you right now, dude.
$25 is worth it.
Yeah.
For a monthly show, whatever they come up with in April, May, June, July, August, September,
if they can keep these kinds of cards coming. I'll make an effort. I can't guarantee, but for me,
I'm gonna at least make a guarantee that this will not be the only Wrestle Circus event in 2017 that I will be at.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It was worth it. $25. That's a damn good deal.
It's a whole lot cheaper than going to California.
And even
well, this is the math here. I'm going to California in a couple of days. $62 round trip on Spirit. Plus $25 Airbnb, $25 ticket. That's about $100. How much did we spend to go to Austin? Say if you were to go by yourself to Austin.
Okay. Well, the ticket's 25, gas round trip. So $60 in gas, 30, right? Food, well, 60 and then 25 is 85. Yeah, about $100.
If it's on a Saturday, would you spend the night in Austin so you wouldn't have to drive back that night?
Maybe. And then that's another, what?
$30-$40.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go to PWG. And on that note,
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this new edition of The Dark Match. Again, this was us talking about Wrestle Circus. Man, if they keep on going, they came out of nowhere. They came from obscurity. But, man, they're knocking it out of the park with what we saw. So, until next time, you'll see us again on our weekly show.
I will not be there.
Well,
I will be
this
gone.
Week, but if you're watching this in the future, whatever, he's still here, whatever. if you're watching this right now on our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button below. If you want to leave a comment, if you were there, if you want to leave a comment below and tell us what you thought your favorite match was. If you're there, or if you bought the iPay-per-view, tell us what you thought of the stream and everything. And if there's other events that you want us to focus on or do a review of, let us know, hit us up. If you're not here on our YouTube channel, go on our Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio. Also on the Twitter machine.
H Wrestling Radio.
Yes.
This will be on iTunes in a few days. So subscribe to us.
Yeah, sure. but yeah, if you're on the audio only iTunes, I'll try to get it out there for you. Yeah. Until then, I think that's it, man.
That's it, man. What is the closing line that we do for this?
You know what? Top guys.
Out. Oh, we apologize to Scott because he was here with he wasn't here with us. Tough shit. But seriously, that was fun. We gotta do it again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We need to drive out.
It was a fun show.
Yeah. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. We got wrestling to watch.
Oh god.
Oh shit, we still got wrestling to watch.
Oh god. That's wrong.